Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Once again, ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum to this edition of the Truthful Connection, coming to you on this Sunday morning from this city of Durban in South Africa, live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online, Sautu Ahli Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahlu Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. We now have our brother Manzoor Ahmad Sheikh Imam, who is the president of the Allied Movement for Change, and he's in Parliament for quite a number of years. So we are, South Africa is going to have the elections on the 29th of May. So we would be discussing some things about the elections and something about the party of Brother Manzoor Ahmad Sheikh Imam also. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, my dear brother. And I hope gloominess, this dull atmosphere, and perhaps it is because I know many people are paying tribute to their mothers today. But what a sad situation we find ourselves in our lives today, that you had to introduce a Mother's Day for us to remember we have mothers and the role that they played and played in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all the deceased mothers the highest place in Jannah, inshallah. And shukran for giving me the opportunity this beautiful morning, although, like I said, it's very gloomy and very cloudy, going to be a cold day in Durban. But yes, indeed, the Allied Movement for Change, is a new political party, although it's been in existence at a local level from 2013, but I have in the last become the leader and president of the Allied Movement for Change, having been with the NFP, as we all know. But what is very important that on the 29th of May, South Africans are going to the voting. And of course, what we do on that day will decide the future of this country, the future of the generations to come, the future of our Islamic freedom in this country, and some of the freedom that we enjoy. There is a great risk, I must admit, that should we not go out there in numbers to protect our freedom, our very existence in this country, then of course South Africa can become another state of Palestine. If you see what is happening in the Western Cape, if you look at the influence, if you look at the amount of money that is coming into the country to ensure that there is a regime change in South Africa, coupled with the fact that the ruling party in the country is fighting itself with breakaways like the MK and many others, which clearly indicates the situation is dire. The fact that these parties are splitting up, it's creating a conducive environment in the country for a Zionist takeover. Also, I think we need to understand, but we cannot deny, that while there are some successes in the country, there are a lot more failures in the country for the last 30 years. And South Africa is heading into a failed state, which means that the generations to come will find life very difficult. You already see what is happening in the country when it comes to equal opportunities in enrollments at institutions of higher learning, in job opportunities, particularly if you are from the minority communities. Although I've always said that we should have been putting behind us this thing of race, gender, and other issues, but coming together in the interest of all South Africans, there is no doubt that the minority communities, by virtue of the introduction of the BEE, which has actually created a lot of black millionaires in the country at the expense of the country at large, if you look at the state of the country. Exactly the same way if you talk about the Employment Equity Bill, simply means that it will be very difficult, if not impossible, for Indian colored whites to be able to get positions, managerial positions, positions of CEOs and things, particularly. So that's a major crisis for us. The other issue is things like the introduction of Bella Bill, where government wants to decide through the influence of Western society whether a boy is a boy or a boy can be a girl, or a girl is a girl or a girl can be a boy. This is the mayhem and chaos that they want to cause in our society. If you remember many decades ago, colonialists in coming to this country, and particularly the continent of Africa, brought in religion to divide us. And when religion alone was not working for them, then they introduced things like abortion and many others. Now we've got the Bella Bill. So again, it means that we have to rise, we have to stand together. But I want to make a very important point, you know. We say that service delivery, local government is the heartbeat of the delivery of services. Now, this is not a local election. However, the decisions that you make at a national and provincial level impacts on how services are delivered at a local level. Provincial and national governments oversee and have the powers to be able to address the shortcomings in local government. But if you have political parties that have absolute majorities, they become arrogant with power, which means they believe they are untouchable, which means that they're not willing to work together with others for the good of the country. And that is where we found ourselves. If you look at what is happening in the country nationally, the arrogance of the ANC is bringing us to where we are, not willing to engage and work with others in the interests of the people. Exactly the same thing in the Western Cape, for that matter. If you see what is happening there, because of the DA majority that they've enjoyed for decades, they think they are a power unto themselves. And that is why I always say in the Western Cape, you have two continents, one for the rich and one for the poor. The poor are getting poorer and the rich are getting richer. If you look at what they're doing in the Western Cape in terms of particularly having access to land, particularly for the Zionists who are creating a stronghold. And if they do, I want to say then they will take that to the rest of the country as well. If you look at even in KwaZulu-Natal, those parties, and in other provinces where those that are governing and are governing in coalitions, nothing, absolutely nothing has changed. We've seen that the financial hub of South Africa, Johannesburg or Gauteng, what has happened to it with the coalition governments, how political parties and leaders, just for selfishness and greediness, where they get positions offered to them, positions of power, where they have access to all the financial resources, they don't put the people first, and that's why the services have been crumbling. So what we do at the provincial and national level does have an impact. If I had it my way as the Allied Movement for Change, I will disband provincial governments completely. All we need in South Africa is a national government and a district government, a district level. You will save billions of rands in South Africa, because 60 to 70% of your budget goes toward administrative cost. And are you getting value for money? We are not. Now, what I want to plead to our brothers and sisters is that you need to look deep into political parties for those that you can identify, that align themselves with your vision, with your ethos and principles, one of Islamic ethos and principles, so that those people can best serve. But if we look at political parties because of their size, and I can tell you what's the common trend, that larger parties are getting smaller, smaller parties are getting larger. And it's all over the world. But for Africa as a whole, political parties don't work. You need a constituency based. Now, there are many things that I've said before that they are very simple that government can take decisions. Just look at the automotive industry in South Africa. All the cars that are assembled and things here. There's about 15,000 components that go into the assembly or manufacture of motor vehicles. But 95 or 99% of those components are imported. Why can we not enhance that sector and manufacture locally? Something we've done, if you remember, during the days of apartheid, we manufactured our own motor vehicles. Exactly the same thing in the mining sector. We mine all the minerals but send them out as raw materials only to buy them back as finished goods. What stops us from creating an industry to finish the goods yet? Look at how many more job opportunities that will be created. Exactly the same thing in the agricultural sector. We are importing even fruits into this country with such a fantastic climate to produce them rather than exporting. Exactly the same thing with the wheat and many other products in South Africa. Did you know that South Africa has some of the most indigenous plants that are used for medicinal purposes all over the world? But if you look at the amount of restrictions that are put in place to actually grow them, only a handful of people are benefiting from it. Only a handful with a monopoly enjoyed by so-called white monopoly capitalist in the country. So the only way we can bring about change in South Africa is by identifying, I want to say it again and again, amongst the younger generation, those that have got the Islamic ethos and morals and values, those that have got integrity, those that got a passion to want to make a difference in somebody else's life. Identify them at an early stage. Let's groom them up to be the future of this country. As the minority communities, we cannot sit back and expect somebody else to fight our fight and create a better country for us. They're not going to do it. We need to be there to protect our own interests. Despite the freedom that we enjoy in terms of religion in South Africa, you and I know in certain areas in the country, we've experienced great difficulties as far as the Adhan is concerned, as far as getting sites to build masajids and Jamaat Khanas. We know that. So can you imagine when a leader of the DA, John Steenhuisen, says one person's genocide is another person's freedom? Are we expecting those people to take control in this country and then ensure we got freedom at the expense of who? So there will be genocide in South Africa if that happens. And that is why I say that all those parties who did not support the Palestinian cause, it clearly indicates that they have taken a decision on who to side with, not on the side of the right, not on the side to uphold human rights, but on the side of those who want to oppress, who want to have power, who want to have control. I repeat the statement that was made a few weeks ago, that in order for the West to survive in Europe, there has to be poverty in Africa, there has to be disease, there has to be chaos, mayhem, there has to be regime change, infighting. These are some of the things that we need to take into consideration when we go out on the 29th of May. Let us not be complacent. If ever there was a need to put that cross, it is on the day of the 29th of May in order to protect our interests and the generations to come. That is where we find ourselves at this stage. Now, the question is coalitions. What does coalitions work? It's never worked. Are we ready for coalitions? No. The truth is, coalitions are here to stay. But only we can make the difference in terms of coalitions. How do we make the difference? Again, yes, political parties will enter into coalition. Yes, you don't have to. You can maintain your identity, your independence, and support that which is right and oppose that which is wrong. But if you enter into coalition, then there's nothing wrong with that. That does not mean you must lose your independence, your consistency, and your objectivity. You must still follow the right path. You still need to hold the other parties, whoever are part and parcel of the coalition, accountable. That when you talk about coalitions, it's not you are bigger and I'm smaller. We are equal, because without me, you can't do it. Without you, I can't do it, right? So what must happen? We must negotiate and engage on every issue that affects the people of this country. And political parties, before they decide who they want to enter into coalitions with, must go and speak to the very same electorate and get a mandate, because those are the people put them there. Now, some will say, let's go and vote for the larger parties. Why do we need the smaller parties? If you look at the contribution that I personally made as a member of a previous party in parliament and what we've achieved, the larger parties didn't achieve that. So the smaller parties can take an effective role in how we govern this country on condition they are not motivated by the so-called one or two positions that larger parties give you, either a minister or a deputy minister or a MMC and things of that nature. This is where the problems when you get these positions and the power. Some political parties, my brother, are not even asking, if you notice at local government, they're not even asking for speakers and mayors and deputy mayors. They want positions of municipal managers, directors, chief financial officers, because that's where the money is. So what we are saying is that when we do enter into coalition, if we have to enter into coalition, it will be on condition that everything we do will do together. We will not take decisions unilaterally by virtue of one being bigger or larger than the other. We govern together, and we admit where we've made mistakes so that we can correct that, my brother, and right path. Failing to do that means the ultimate collapse of the ruling party, particularly now, and as you and I know, lifespan for liberation movements are around 30 years, and of course the ruling party in this country is now 30 years into governance. And if you go through the history of all of Africa, it's exactly the same thing. But what is important to note, that whatever we do, we have a country, a beautiful country, that it is at great risk of a takeover currently. One. Number two, the country is at a great risk of collapsing, where you'll have not enough resources to meet your daily obligations. And only if you identify from a grassroots the right kind of people to go and become your politician or statesman and stateswoman, then only would you be able to have a better society for our children and all of us to live, and grandchildren, the future generation. So as the Allied Movement for Change, I can assure you that we have identified credible leaders with the necessary integrity and the capacity and the ability to deliver. And I can tell you that is not going to change, but we are calling on the general public, wherever you have children or grandchildren or nephews or nieces or friends or whatever, that have the ability, have the passion, let's work with them, bring them on board, let them become part and parcel of the Allied Movement for Change, so we can take South Africa, change this country once and for all for the better. Voters should have a role by virtue of the mandate that they give political parties to enter into coalition. And that is why political parties are not a law unto themselves. They must not take the votes and then take the decision unilaterally. They must engage with the voters. And I can assure you that as the Allied Movement for Change, should the need arise, we will be engaging with our people on the ground. We will be engaging with influential leaders who would be able to guide us. And I've already discussed that with many institutions, what the possibilities are, what we should be putting in an agreement and reaching consensus of how we're going to govern together. So indeed, the voters, remember, when it comes to the governance and politics of a country, It is the voters that are important, not the politicians. Unfortunately, in the politics of our countries today, politicians believe the moment they get the power, they are on a high and the voters are on a low. It doesn't work like that. It's the other way around. Voters have the power. And voters must hold political parties and leaders accountable. Every voter has a role to play as far as including the coalition government, including the way the political parties are performing. And I want to say this. Do not wait for 5 years to raise your concerns about how your public representatives are performing. No, you don't. If you believe they're not up to scratch and not performing, raise it immediately. Bring them into the public domain. Question them about the mandate that you have given them. You don't have to wait 5 years at a time to bring about that change. Let's bring that change now and let's hold people accountable all the time. We don't have to wait every 5 years to be able to hold them accountable.
Inshallah, we would terminate at this point and continue with our discussion in the coming week, inshallah.
Jazakallah, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Brother Ahmad Manzoor Sheikh Imam, the president for Allied Movement for Change. And as we know, we are almost just, there's just about 2 weeks left before we go to the polling stations to cast our vote. So as our brother has given us some very wise advice, we should, you know, be cognizant of what he has stated.